Today on Prophecy Unfolding, we will examine the horrific skyrocketing increase in violent crime and murder in the light of Bible prophecy. Well, I'm Dr. Richard Schmidt. I'm so happy that you're with us. And we're looking forward to going through some of the issues that are facing us right here in America and around the world as we look at prophecy unfolding from a globalist perspective. Well, I'd like to invite you, first of all, to attend Union Grove Baptist Church in Racine County. We're about 25 minutes south of Milwaukee and just north of Kenosha County. Sunday, we have our main service at 9 a.m. We have adult Bible fellowship and Sunday school for all ages at 10:45. Sunday evening, 6 p.m. service. And on Wednesday, we have full youth activities, high school activities, and I'm always speaking on Wednesday night from a prophetic subject. So you're invited to come to Union Grove Baptist Church. Well, let's get right into our topic for this evening. And again, we're going to be looking at some of the major issues that are facing us, and we're going to stick specifically to America for right now. There's a wonderful website. It's unfortunately has horrible material, but it's a great website if you want to find out about gun violence and what's been taking place. Basically, it's called gunviolencearchive.org, gunviolencearchive.org. And I like to go to this site, not because I enjoy reading what's on it, but because it highlights all of the major mass shootings that have taken place throughout the entire year. So if you go to that website, it'll literally tell you what's been taking place. Well, folks, what's the horrible thing that's been happening in America is we see this massive increase in violence and murder. And we're going to tie that right into the prophetic word in a few moments. We're going to go to 2 Timothy, Matthew 24, a couple other passages as time permits. But I want to remind us of what's been taking place recently. I'm talking just since 2022, this year, since January through approximately July when the last statistic came in. We are looking at over 355 mass shooting incidents in America. That just seems ridiculously high, but as you go through and you look at every single incident, it becomes to make a lot of sense. Not sense from, if you will, from an ethical standpoint, but it's like, wow, it's just amazing what's been taking place. Well, I want to remind us of a few things. I want to just highlight a few of the major shootings that have taken place. You're like, well, Pastor Rich, why are you doing this? The issue is, as we look at getting closer and closer to the time when Jesus Christ stated that he would come back, which is any moment, it talks in 2 Timothy 3 about an uptick of horrible events, and we're going to get into that in just a moment. But let me remind you of a few things just to help us understand what's taking place in our country and maybe in the state that you're listening to this. Now, if we just go back to July 4th, we just celebrated a few weeks ago Independence Day. And as you'll recall, in Highland Park, Illinois, there was a mass shooting. A sniper goes up on the roof of a building. They're doing a parade in Highland Park, Illinois. And the next thing you know, we have eight people that were killed in that horrible, horrific incident, and 29 people were injured. We go back just a few months earlier to May 24th in Uvalde, Texas. Now, almost every single person is familiar with this particular issue. We have another individual coming in with a gun and gets into a school. 22 people killed and 17 injured. Absolutely unbelievable circumstances that leads to this. Again, I'm not getting into the issue of gun control and all the things that from a government standpoint and the various politics involved. But folks, obviously, this is a horrific issue when you have that many children and people that are literally killed and injured. You might recall going back to May 14th in New York, Buffalo, New York. An individual comes in, it basically makes it very clear that he's a white supremacist, that he's anti-Semitic, and kills 10 people and injures 3 more. Now, when we talk about numbers, it can many times have the wrong, if you will, thing that pops into our head. It's like, okay, 10 people were killed, 3 people were injured, and we, instead of looking at every single person as a literal person, someone whose life was taken, what happens when a life is taken? Well, most of us, fortunately, have not had a situation like that where a family member has literally been killed by someone else. Now, some of you may have that are listening. How does a family member feel? How does a mother feel? How does a father feel? How do the aunts and uncles feel? How do the friends, how do the other relatives and the neighbors and the schoolmates and the workmates feel about when something like this takes place? It's horrific. So when we talk about numbers, and these are high numbers that we're looking at, again, there's 355 incidents that have taken place where more than one person has either been killed or injured, and we can kind of compartmentalize this in our heads as, okay, well, you know, I didn't know the person, and we just kind of go on with life like it's not a major issue. Well, folks, when we think about every single statistic, every single number is a soul, someone whose life was cut short. And when we look at the prophetic scenario in 2 Timothy and other places, we find out that this is not something that we shouldn't expect. Now, it's a horrible thing, it's a terrible thing, but it's awful. I want to take you just to where I live, which is in Wisconsin, just a few miles from where I live in Franklin, in Milwaukee. There is a botched drug robbery that took place at a person's home, and 6 people were found dead inside the home. Now, some of these are random shootings that we talked about, all calculated. Then we have something like this where drugs are involved, where potential gang members are involved, where multiple guns are involved, and multiple people end up dead. Now, that sets the stage as we now go to Scripture to understand what is taking place in our country, what's taking place in America, what's taking place in most of the states where we live. Well, let's take a moment. If you have a Bible, you might want to go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Now, I could preach many, many, many messages just from verse 1. And here's what 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 states. And the Bible states, "But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come." Well, let's look at the kind of the original language and pull out some of the concepts that are talked about here. Paul is writing to Timothy, and he's saying, "Listen, son, listen, my, if you will, my protege, know this, Timothy, in the last days." Now, when did the last days start? Well, when we look at it from a biblical perspective, the Apostle Paul is making it clear that every single person since Jesus Christ came has been looking and waiting for him to return. And I believe the Apostle Paul was hoping that Christ would return in his lifetime. If you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and you go down to the change that will take place in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, when our bodies will be transformed, Paul said, "We shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye." Well, that still hasn't happened, and it's almost 2,000 years later. So I believe Paul was looking for the imminent return of Jesus Christ in what we call the rapture, to take him home to heaven. Well, it didn't happen in his generation, and it hasn't happened for the last 2,000 years, but one generation will indeed be taken up. So as we await Jesus' return, as we see what's taking place in the world and in our country, Paul says to Timothy, "Listen, know this, in the last days, perilous times. Now, what are we talking about perilous? What's another word that would make sense here? Dangerous, perilous, dangerous times, violent times. Now, the word times there can also be translated seasons. There'll be seasons of danger. There'll be times when horrible things are taking place. There'll be times when we're seeing what took place in many of our states already this year. We're seeing spikes in violence, spike in violent crime, many, many people being severely injured and crippled, life-threatening injuries, catastrophic injuries, people not caring about people, but only their selfish, concerned motivations. So it says again, know this, Timothy. And by the way, same thing is being spoken to me and to you. God is making it clear. Perilous times, dangerous seasons are upon us. So you say, well, is there a remedy? Well, let's read on and see what else God states in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And verse 2 says, for men will be lovers of themselves. Now, you say, well, that's not unusual. People have always cared about themselves, and it's a normal preservation and so forth. There is truth to that. But when you look at this, we're talking about where people literally are only concerned about themselves. They don't care about the person next door. They don't care about the person down the street. They don't care about the person pulling into the big box store and cutting you off. And then if you get in their way, they come out and begin to shoot or scream or yell. They're lovers of themselves. It's all about me. Lovers of money. Folks, if you watch what's taking place on a global perspective, and right here in America, people love money. Now you say, well, that's nothing new. People have always loved money. And the Bible also says what? The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Why? Because people get self-centered. They're centering in on money. If we take a look at what's happening in our current administration in the federal level, we find it's all about money. The massive, massive amount of spending that takes place, the massive inflation that's happening. And our next show, we're going to get into a little bit about some of the money that's being appropriated for climate change. You don't want to miss the next show about climate change, and we're going to get into some real specifics and some biblical principles on that. But people are lovers of money. They're boasters. In other words, it's all about me. Here's what I've done. Many times people do not. They absolutely do not talk about anything except themselves. They're proud. They're blasphemers. Now let's stop there for a minute. When we're looking at those who are antagonistic towards God, those who are all about themselves, God becomes secondary at best. People push God out of their vernacular. They push him out of their lives. Here's another interesting part in 2 Timothy 3:2. Disobedient to parents. Now, unless you're in a home where mom and dad actually take a stand and train their children properly, we find a massive disrespect for parents. I find young people who call parents by their first name. They treat them disrespectfully. They yell at them. They swear at them. It's just unbelievable what's taking place. We see elder abuse that's on skyrocketing numbers. Why? Because people are concerned about themselves. The Bible also says in verse 2 of 2 Timothy 3, they're unthankful. They're unholy. Verse 3 then hits on this issue of violence again. They are unloving. Again, love is giving to others without expecting things in return. And when you're looking at an unloving society, a society that is steeped in self, they're only concerned about what's in it for me, you're going to have problems. We recently, and I watched the local news in Milwaukee area, and in just the last week or so, we've had two freeway shootings. We've had a road rage incident where and they still don't even know who the shooter was, but they're driving down a city street. One of the other persons didn't like whatever that person did, shoots at the car, kills the person in the car, and there's children that are inside of it and seeing this horrific thing. This is the unloving, unholy, unthankful, all-about-me society that we're seeing as people draw away from God, become blasphemers, and what calls these perilous, dangerous times that we're currently in. They're unforgiving. They're slanders. Now, here's another one that God states in 2 Timothy 3:3. They're without self-control. In other words, it's all about me. I'm going to do whatever it takes. I'm concerned only about my life. I could care less about my neighbor. And that's exactly what God predicted, prophesied, that would take place in these last days. The next one, another phenomenal word that fits right into this brutality. Brutal, that's the word, without self-control. Brutal. When you see some of these horrific murders that are taking place, senseless murders, horrible crimes, violent crimes, and God is saying, listen, in the last days, don't be surprised, don't be shocked when you open up the newspaper and you read about massive shootings taking place. Don't be surprised when I look at my Milwaukee internet site and look at what's taken place and look at the police statistics and find out that there are sometimes over 20, 25 plus shootings in one weekend. And what does God say to Timothy? Timothy, my son, listen, when you see the horrible things that are going to be taking place, when you understand that there are perilous times, there's perilous seasons that will come upon this world. Here's the thought, Timothy. I want you to do this, and here's what I want to encourage you to do as we continue on here. I want you to understand that when we see these things, you know what it's pointing to? God said it's pointing to the time when Jesus Christ, God's Son, is going to be coming in the clouds to take us out of here. Could it be today? It could. Could it be tomorrow? It could. Could God decide to tarry and not come for a significant amount of time? He could. But folks, what God's encouraging us here, listen, when we see the tough times, when we see the hard times, when we see the violence in the street, when you look, and here's what happens, when the news broadcasters put this on a television show, and what do they show you? They usually show you the crime scene. You'll see a bunch of police cars and ambulances and fire engines and so forth. You might see a SWAT team. You might see some police walking around with guns. You know what they usually don't show you? They don't show you that right across the street from where all the lights are, where all the action is, there's some poor little mom who's walking out screaming and yelling, falling on her face, crying in a horrific outcry. Her son, her daughter has just been killed. They've just been murdered. Something horrible has just taken place. You don't see when the little siblings come out of the home and their eyes are filled with tears and they're crying. You don't see the family members and the rest of it take place because the media, of course, centers in on the light show, if you will, from all the different cars and first responders that are there. Folks, you know what we need back in America, what we need back in our hearts is to get away from these horrible concepts that God said would infiltrate America and every other place as these last days approach. God says, listen, yes, the world will be without self-control. They will be brutal. They will be unloving. They will be unforgiving. They will be blasphemers, lovers of money, lovers of themselves. And God says, listen, my dear friends, you know what we need? We need a group of Christians that'll get on fire for God once again. We need God's people to say, listen, enough's enough. And what can we do about that? And I'm going to give you a little idea what God has asked us to do in a few moments. But I want to continue with a couple more verses in 2 Timothy chapter 3. verse 3, the last thing it says, in the last days, the last seasons, the perilous times, the dangerous times, people will be despisers of that which is good, traitors, headstrong. Again, it's all about me. Don't give me your opinion. I had one of my bosses once said this. Somebody said, listen, I want to tell you what I think should take place. And his answer to this person was, if I want your opinion, I'll give it to you. Well, I mean, it sounds funny, but that person was dead serious. And it's like, listen, I'm not interested in what you have to say. If I want an opinion, I'll give you one. And just a bad attitude, if you will. But headstrong. Haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Folks, you know why churches aren't filled up the way they should be? We should be filled to overflowing during these last days. We should have so many people coming into the churches that we have to quadruple and services, build new buildings, keep adding on. And there are many churches, Union Grove Baptist. We've been growing significantly over the last 2 years to where our auditorium's almost full. But folks, you want to know why so many churches are shutting down? Do you want to know why church attendance is weak in many churches? Well, it's simply this. We get sidetracked. Instead of focusing on the gospel, instead of focusing on loving God and loving people, it's sidetracked into so many different things, and it's literally a killer of a church. Well, God says, listen, they'll be lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. How about if God's people said, listen, we're going to get back, we're going to love God like never before, we're going to serve God like never before, we're going to tell folks about Jesus like never before, we're going to love on people and help them like never before, and that will be the total antithesis, the total opposite of what God says would happen with the, if you will, the secular pagan society, which is moving in the wrong direction. Well, we'll end with 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5, which says this, people during the last days will have a form of godliness, a form of godliness, but denying its power. In other words, people will latch on, basically making statements and doing things like they were following God, but in essence, they have no power of God because they're not in right connection with Him. You know what the Bible says finally at the end of verse 5, after going through all these different things, all these different issues, when we're looking at these perilous, dangerous times, what does God say? All these people who choose to live in this horrible, sin-sick way, and from such people, turn away. Now, folks, does that mean we shouldn't share the gospel with them? Does that mean we should put them on the outside? No, what it's basically saying, these are not the folks that are to be your closest friends. Listen, every single person needs the gospel. Every single person needs to understand that they're a sinner and that because of their sin, if they got what they deserve, just like me, if I got what I deserved, I'd spend eternity in an awful place called hell, the lake of fire, Revelation 21:8. But God said, listen, I love you. And my friend, if you happen to be someone who fits into this 2 Timothy 3 scenario, God can change your heart. He literally can. God can give you new life through Jesus Christ. You say, how can that happen? Listen, you don't know what I've done. You don't know where I've been. And God says, listen, I love you this morning. I love you this evening. I love you throughout the day. And I'm here for you. And God said, listen, you're a sinner. Yes, you are. And because you sin, you certainly don't deserve to go to heaven. But Jesus Christ said, I love you. And here's what I did for you. Some 2,000 years ago, Jesus comes down from heaven. He goes to the cross. He willingly gives his life because he loves you. It wasn't all about him. Jesus said it's all about getting you eternal life. He goes to the cross. He's crucified. He's buried. 3 days later, what happens? He rises from the dead to prove that he was God. Folks, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, oh, I trust that you'll do that today. Fall on your face, tell God that you understand you don't deserve heaven, but right now you're accepting that free gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. For by grace, God's free unmerited gift, are you saved? Saved from sin, saved from the penalty of sin. And it's not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any person should boast. Well, before we bring this to a close, I want to look at one other passage very quickly, Matthew chapter 24. This is the Olivet Discourse that Jesus himself preached, and he's talking about things that will take place in the future. Now, this particular passage is literally talking about what's going to take place after what we call the rapture of the church, or when that one generation goes up to heaven. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 9, here's what it states. And Jesus said, here's what's going to happen during those horrible days that are yet to come in the tribulation. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Now, we've just been talking about the violence that is taking place in America, in our local states, and looking at 2 Timothy chapter 3, which prophesied that during these last days, these things would happen. Why? Because it's leading into exactly what's going to take place after, if you will, the church is taken up to heaven, the believers in Jesus Christ. What's he saying? Other people will come to Christ during that seven-year tribulation period, but you know what's going to happen? Jesus said, the good news is, many will come to Jesus Christ during that time period, but they will be martyred or be killed. Verse 10, Matthew 24. And then many will be offended. They'll betray one another and will hate one another. Understand, folks, that hatred, violence, murder, hurting people, those are the things which are not of God. They are the opposite. They are the antithesis of who God is. So what can we say as we come to a close? Here's the wonderful thing. Every single person pretty much knows John 3:16. Let's just think about that wonderful, beautiful verse for a moment. For God so what? Think of the word. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever believes in him shouldn't perish, but have everlasting life. Are you exercising love of God, dear Christian? Are you showing others his love? I trust you are. If you're there and you've never accepted the love of Christ, we told you how to do that a few minutes ago. Accept that free gift today and enjoy the love of God as you share his love with others. Well, folks, thank you so much for being with us once again on Prophecy Unfolding.